we are now providing additional support for some review team members in getting to the ICANN meeting. Again, airline itineraries, hotels, and the like. And then most recently, we have yet another group, which is special working groups. As an example, there is an IDN variant project that's taking place in Singapore, where representatives from a number of countries around the world that are working on IDN variant strings have come together to work on string details to ensure that new strings, as they're added to the root zone, are stable and secure. And Singapore proved to be a very good place to bring these groups together, since some of them were already coming to the meeting, and all we needed to do was bring some additional folks from other countries, and they had a very robust working group to work on these strings. Again, the travel support team stepped in and served as the facilitator for getting airfare itineraries, hotels, and the like for these folks. So this is, when we say supported groups, these are the kinds of folks that we're talking about. For Singapore, I believe the number that we will have provided support for is going to be very close to about 150 folks, so a fairly substantial number of folks. So what does this process look like? Well, supported travelers get an email to start the process. That email includes some basic overview information, a copy of the travel summary, and instructions as to what to do next. Usually one of the first things we tell a traveler to do is to obtain a visa. If the traveler is required to have a visa in order to attend the ICANN meeting at its location, we typically will not purchase their airline ticket until they have their visa. If you arrive at the airport and you do not have the proper visa, frequently the airline will not allow you to board the flight. So as part of our check-in balance, we require that you have your visa before we book your airline ticket for you. Many of our travelers book through a centralized travel agency. It's ICANN's travel agency. Currently, we are using BCD Travel. BCD is a Netherlands-based travel agency with offices in well over 90 countries around the world. The agent who handles most of our supported travelers' efforts is based here in California, but they do use their other offices as well to assist travelers. We do allow travelers to purchase their own plane tickets. We set guidelines as to what we will reimburse. And then those travelers can then book their own tickets and submit expense reports for reimbursement. Once a traveler has a valid itinerary and we know their arrival date and their departure date from the ICANN meeting, hotel rooms are then booked in their name. Once we receive confirmation from the hotel, which is the confirmation number, we send it out as quickly as we can. What we've learned through many ICANN meetings is each hotel has their own process, their own method, their own system. Sometimes we get confirmations weeks and weeks and weeks before the meeting is to begin. In other circumstances, we actually get the confirmation numbers a week or two before the meeting is supposed to begin. So we get those confirmations out as quickly as we can based on when we receive them from the hotels. ICANN also provides some additional financial subsidy for attending an ICANN meeting, recognizing that there will be meals to be paid, there'll be incidental costs that a person incurs, whether it's their own transportation to the airport, from the airport, within the city that the ICANN meeting is at, and other incidental costs. So to ensure that these supported travelers can afford those various incidentals, we provide either a per diem or a stipend, which is either paid before, sometimes during, and even after the meeting, depending on the individual. Currently, we try and wire the money to as many individuals as we can prior to the meeting. We do distribute currency at the ICANN meeting itself, and then we do have folks who submit expense reports after the meeting, such as the nominating committee, and they get reimbursed after the meeting. The travel support coordinator for the past year has been, actually almost 2 years now, has been Matt Ashtiani. If any of you in the room have received travel support in the past, you'd recognize Matt's name. I'm delighted to report that Matt has been recently promoted to a new position. He has joined the policy team, working as part of the support group with the at-large community. And so this meeting is Matt's last full support meeting, and he is handing over the reins to Joseph DeJesus, who's taking over as travel coordinator. Joseph's in the room. He can wave. You can all see him. I can't. Joseph has actually been at ICANN meetings in the past. Some of you may even recognize him. Joseph has actually been working with ICANN's meetings team, supporting their efforts in organizing the venue, all of the technical support, and the like, the catering. So Joseph is familiar with ICANN and the ICANN meetings, and he is now stepping into Matt's shoes as the travel support coordinator, and we're delighted to have Joseph help. So going forward, you will start receiving your communications from Joseph, not Matt, as part of the ICANN constituency travel support team. So Matt and Joseph are in the middle of a transition, with Matt handing the reins over to Joseph. They continue to do that, and that transition will be complete with the meeting in Dakar in October. So I'm noticing, Joseph, that we had somebody chat in the chat room.
Yes, that's correct. I think we can go back to that later at the Q&A.
Very good. So we're up to what some of the contemplated changes are going forward, and these have not been finalized yet. As soon as any changes are finalized, we will send a notice out to the community. We will post a new version of the travel guidelines and open the new guidelines up for public comment. The existing guidelines are actually up for public comment. That public comment period closes on June 26th. Since there were no changes in the current guidelines from the prior guidelines, I noticed earlier today that there were not any comments yet, which is fine. But if we do make changes, we will post new guidelines, describe the changes on our website, as well as open up a public comment period. So some of what the contemplated changes include is, one is the reimbursement method. So ICANN sends out quite a few wires to reimburse people. Wires, for a $30 wire from the United States, a $30 USD wire from the United States, could cost ICANN $40 in transaction fees. So we're going to set some limits, lower limits, for wire transfers. And for reimbursements that are less than that limit, we'll either give the individual cash at the ICANN meeting or find another reimbursement method rather than continuing to spend a significant sum of money on wires for very small sums of money. So that's one contemplated change. A second one is setting some more rigid deadlines for booking. ICANN continues to find itself in the position of having to hold hotel rooms that go unused because people are not responsive in booking their itineraries. ICANN has deadlines with the hotels as to when we must hold the room by. And in the past, we have held rooms for folks who haven't booked their itineraries that we have ended up having to pay for because we're obligated by the hotel. If we release the room and then the person books an itinerary, we now don't have a room for them, and the hotel has given that room away. So we're contemplating being a little more rigid around deadlines for booking. One of the changes that we think will be a tremendous improvement is we're going to restructure the travel summary. The travel summary is currently 7 pages long. We translate it into 6 different languages. It's gotten to be quite repetitive for the traveler who goes with us regularly. So we're going to restructure the travel summary, putting any changes at the very front of the summary so that those who've read prior summaries, all they'll need to do is read a very brief description of any changes that have been made to the summary, and it'll make it easier for them to use because they'll realize that everything else has remained the same. And then the last thing we want to do is actually improve our communications. And so part of what Joseph is working on with myself is and Karen Lettner, who is also part of the travel support team based here in Los Angeles, is finding better ways to communicate with our travel support community so that they get the information they need in a timely manner. It's organized in a way that's very useful for them, and that if there's new information coming out, it's getting out to these travelers so they know what's going on in the process. If we have information about hotel confirmations, if we have information about what's happening at the hotel itself, itinerary reroutes, and the like. And we're actually subscribing to some new tools so we can track where travelers are. For example, we actually knew before the traveler contacted us that we had a traveler who was trapped by the volcanic ash dust that's been affecting South America as well as New Zealand and Australia. So by getting information through these tools, we're starting to get in front of some of our travelers' needs. So those are some of the contemplated changes. We've not made the changes yet. Again, if any of these changes become implemented, we'll put out a travel guideline first, open it for public comment, ask for input from the community, and then before the guideline becomes finalized, we'll collate all of that information and then make a final decision as to what we should do next. So I'm going to open it up now. I don't know how many people are in the room. I see we have one person at least online. And I will say this. We have received over the past 2 years some excellent input from our traveling community, and we really value that input. So it's very important to our process that our travelers speak up, speak out, let us know what works well, let us know what ideas they have to make it better. We've actually incorporated any number of ideas that have come out of our traveler community. So we really value that input. And I'll say this, you do not need to wait for the public comment periods or an ICANN meeting to speak up. You can email us at any time with ideas that you have, and we have a number of travelers who we value highly, who are very vocal, and they constantly say, I know I'm annoying you, and we have to say, actually you're not, because you're filled with lots of really good ideas, and we want those ideas. Keep them coming, because it helps us do our job better. It improves this process. It makes the money that ICANN is spending on this process go further. So we really do appreciate the efforts of the community. So with that, I'll open it up for questions at this point in time.
Hi. Hey, Steve. So we'll go to the first question on Adobe Connect. So the question was, an ALEC meeting just concluded half an hour ago. The ALEC was barely able to make quorum as almost half of their members weren't there. I continue to be disturbed by the notion of funding those who treat ICANN as a personal cash flow that can be manipulated into supporting their personal tourist agendas. Your policies need to attend to the element of abuse.
Can you tell
me that was? And it was from Danny Younger.
I see that. So I don't know if Danny can hear me, and I'll probably circle back with him. And Joseph, if you would do me a favor in the chat room and let Danny know that if he cannot hear my answer, I'm not sure he can.
Yes, he can hear you.
I can. Thank you, Danny. Appreciate that. I would have said you, I would also send you an answer offline as well. So this is one of our ongoing challenges, which is the initial support for the at-large community is the 15 members of the at-large advisory committee and then 10 RALO members in total, which are it's supposed to be two from each of the five RALOs, or a total of 25 supported travelers. What we have said to the at-large community is who you nominate and who you send to an ICANN meeting, we actually are not going to check to see if they're actually a member of the advisory committee or actually two from each RALO or five from one RALO. The only limitation that the at-large community has is the 25. So if there are advisory committee members who are unable to attend the meeting, we have alerted the at-large community that they may substitute, and we do allow substitutions. So I apologize that you had such a struggle meeting quorum at this meeting. I'm not really sure why you had such trouble meeting quorum at this meeting, but we would have supported and paid for 25 travelers to get to the ICANN meeting. We sent everyone who we were asked to send. Does that address your question, Danny?
Danny's currently typing.
Steve, can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, it's Alan Greenberg. What Danny is asking is, what about people who are physically at the meeting but don't bother to show up at the physical room at the right time? He's asking about abuse of the of receiving travel. I believe that's what Danny's asking.
So that's an excellent question. And Alan, thank you. This is one of the challenges ICANN has. We rely on the community themselves to make a determination as to who they're going to support in the future. So if the chair of the at-large, and in this case I guess it would be Olivier, if there are members who we've supported who are not showing up for their meetings, ICANN staff cannot make those people go to the meetings. We can, however, accept an instruction from someone like a chair or a vice chair that these people are not to receive support in the future. And that's actually happened, believe it or not.
Danny,
Steve, it's Marilyn Cade, and I'd just like to come in with a comment. Having been around ICANN since before it was invented and experienced this problem before with the dot force, when we were bringing people, I guess, and I do come from the business constituency, but I guess I would ask, do you ask the travelers to sign a statement that they will attend the meetings that are designated by their endorsing entity?
Marilyn, that's an excellent question, and I'll say we do not, but I think it's a wonderful suggestion for each of the groups for them to do that. Would be if they nominate somebody out of their group to receive support, to say to that person, will you sign a commitment that if ICANN pays for you to be at this meeting, you will show up for all of our meetings and our functions, otherwise we'd like to nominate someone else.
And Steve, this is Janice. I'm just going to jump in and say I'd be more than happy to help with this. It is something, and I know the fellowship program is distinctly different from the kind of travel support for those volunteers already embraced and within the community, and I accept that. But we do have a terms and conditions, and they are mandatory meetings for them to attend. And if those meetings are not attended, which is part of my job as I am monitoring the program throughout the week, there is discussion at the program or at the ICANN conference, and I've had those discussions. And then there is also the fact that they will no longer be participating as part of it. I share with that with the selection committee, and we make sure that if there are individuals who are not partaking of those sessions, and for the fellowship, it is basically the week of sessions, then, you know, so we do have a terms and conditions. We do have it posted on our website, and be more than happy to work with the other communities. So I'll just let you know that and to work with you and Joseph.
Janice, thank you very much for that input. I think you've touched on probably a direction that a number of the speakers, such as Marilyn and Danny, are alluding are getting at, which is we are actually the support group for the fellows. But we're not the support group for the ALAC or the GNSO or the CCNSO, et cetera. So perhaps we could provide some advisory to those groups on them having the same types of terms and conditions for the folks that they're nominating for travel support for this very reason. And I just want to speak to something that Danny pointed out when he said that these people are abusing ICANN's largesse. I'd actually say they're abusing the community's largesse, since this money is coming from registrations. This is where ICANN's money comes from. It comes from the community. So they're abusing the community's largesse. We're just a facilitator, if you will, of the process. And so as a member of the community, I could clearly understand being offended by that. And so not speaking as an ICANN staff member right now, but strictly for myself, who has registered domain names and paid ICANN fees, I would see that that's very offensive as well. So I think that's a wonderful suggestion, and Janice, I'll take you up on the offer to get that help.
Hi, Steve. Chris Chaplow has a comment.
Chris?
Hi, Steve. Chris Chaplow from andalusia.com and the vice chair of the BC. I just wanted to weigh in on this and really speaking in a personal capacity. I think it's very important that we have this discipline and professionalism at ICANN in the community so that people who have the opportunity to come do attend the meetings. The document that I've read in the last 3 years at ICANN, there's one document that made me sit down in just astonishment, and that was an ombudsman's claim, an ombudsman's decision for a member of the community who was paid to come to ICANN meetings. It was Sydney, didn't attend anything, and then asked for his per diem. The staff refused to give the per diem on those grounds. He went to the ombudsman, and the ombudsman backed the staff. I don't know who it was. It doesn't really matter. I just could not believe, you know, as somebody from the community who, you know, it's very expensive to come to these meetings, and it's a privilege to come to the meetings, and so I just could not believe that that was happening. And so, you know, if it does happen, then it's very wrong. That's my view anyway. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Are there other questions or comments or input? This is wonderful.
Alan's next.
Yeah, Steve, a number of points. And I've got to run in a few minutes, so I hope you'll forgive me if I do more than one issue. Just quickly with regard to the last one, Janice is in a – the fellowship is in an interesting position because these are trips that are done one at a time, and it's easy to not accept someone the second time. For people who are appointed for a two-year period, it is really difficult to enforce the level of professionalism if they don't do it themselves, especially when the group that sent them, be it a RALO or a constituency, is not willing to discipline their own friends. So it's a real challenge on how to do it. It's not quite as simple. It would almost be easier if ICANN would say, yes, we're tracking your performance and you didn't show up, so we refuse to fund you, because their own friends will very often not be able to do that effectively. I'm not asking for an answer. It's just showing the difficulty of the problem. It's not just a will, you know, that the community wants to do it. It's sometimes very, very difficult to actually pull off. On other issues, in terms of deadlines, I have two comments on deadlines. First of all, we understand the need for deadlines because of the realities of dealing with travel and bookings and stuff, but please set reasonable ones. If we look at this meeting, I got the travel summary on April 7th. It said all the documents must be submitted no later than April 8th. Well, that's just a bit tight, and travel must be booked by April 22nd, which is exactly 2 weeks out. That's just not a reasonable set of deadlines. If I'm sick for one day, I've missed the deadline. Please set reasonable ones in the future. But related to deadlines, again, I understand the need for having deadlines. Please make sure that either ICANN staff or the travel agent who are supporting us meet their own deadlines too. To send a document to receive a document and not respond to it for a week and miss the deadline when it's sitting in the in-basket of someone from ICANN or an ICANN agent doesn't help the situation. So please, if you're setting a deadline, either make sure you're staffed up or extend the deadline or something. But I hate to be in a situation where I'm missing a deadline because I haven't gotten any answers back from the other side of the brick wall. And related to that, you said you're going to improve communications. I'll say bless you on that.
The
first thing, please, when email is received, at least send an acknowledgement saying received, noted. You don't have to answer the substance, but let's make sure that there's enough email problems in the world and spam catchers of, you know, there are enough times when email is not received. In this case, I sent something like 3 emails, and I didn't get an answer back. I was told one of them was answered, but I never got the answer. We need to somehow touch base. You explicitly ask us for 2 email addresses just in case of the communication problem. Maybe you need to use it. But please try to make sure that emails, even by busy people, are answered, if only an automated answer saying it at least got to their desk. It's really important, because when you're talking about deadlines, having the other side be a black hole isn't good. And it's nice to assume that if we've heard nothing, don't worry, everything's under control. But you and I both know that sometimes it's not under control. I've arrived at ICANN hotels a number of times and found out the reservation is for the wrong days or, you know, other errors. And it would be nice to have that kind of information ahead of time. So I'd like to see, as you automate your processes, and I hope you will be automating them more, that you send out emails telling us what's going on. For instance, if you don't have the confirmation number from the hotel, at least tell us what dates you're asking for from the hotel. So if there's been an error in that, we know early enough to fix it. At the last meeting in San Francisco, there was an error like that for me, and it was too late to fix it. So I think I've exhausted my list. I don't think I need answers to all of them. I've said most of this before, but please, communication, I'm glad to see it on your list. It's really important.
Thank you, Alan.
I'll give one more example, because I forgot to list it. On per diems, when you request the per diem transfer, you know, I'm sure it comes out of an Excel spreadsheet, also send an email to the traveler saying we are requesting a transfer of, you know, N days at X dollars per day plus whatever fees, just so I know. When I get the transfer, I get no notification from my bank if I don't check, and it comes in Canadian dollars, which has been converted using an unknown rate. I really don't know what you transferred to me. I don't know if it was correct or not. Thank you.
That's a great point, Alan. Thank you. So, as always, Alan, you raise excellent points. The good news is Joseph's in the room with you, and I'm sure he was taking notes as vigorously as I was on those issues. One of the things I will share with you, so this is one of those behind the scenes, I'll call it the Wizard of Oz thing. We are getting away from Excel spreadsheets. With the assistance of our application development team, we have developed a little internal utility or tool. It's a database system that is dramatically improving our ability to keep track of all of this information. And I think, Alan, we'll be able to use this tool to vastly improve just what you asked for, communications back to each individual traveler on what their status is, what we currently show as arrival dates, departure dates, hotel rooms, per diems. All of this will get much easier now with our database system. I do want to make one comment on deadlines. I think your point is very well taken. There's multiple issues, obviously, at work in this deadline issue. One of the most difficult drivers is the hotel itself will frequently give us a hard stop deadline when they'll take new names for reservations under our master block contract. And when they give us a hard stop deadline, we try and negotiate that to be as close to the meeting as we possibly can get it. But sometimes it's not close enough, and we're in that very gray area where groups that are nominating folks for support haven't even told us yet who the traveler is, and we're bumping up against the hotel's deadline. And so what you've seen the result of that, and I understand your frustration, which is here's an email on the 7th and you have to respond by the 8th. We've been working as a team to find a better solution to that problem. And we started, I'll say, experimentally with that solution with the Singapore meeting. And while the communications didn't reflect it, we actually had a better handle on ensuring that we had rooms for folks. And because our experiment now appears to be working, we will probably try that again with Dakar, meaning that the deadlines will be closer to the meeting than they've been in the past. So I'm hopeful for that, but if we set a deadline and it's closer to the meeting, that may become a hard stop deadline.
Steve, as a quick follow-up, and then I'll be out of the room, so I won't bother you anymore. As you know, I've actually arranged meetings like this, so I understand the constraints that are put upon you, which are sometimes impossible to change. But if there is indeed a hard deadline of the 22nd of April, then you got to get the messages out before the 7th of April. Even if you're asking for preliminary information, that's number one. Number two, one can be innovative with hotels on occasion.
I agree on both points, and based on what I just shared with you, with our experiment, and we didn't know that it would work, so we had our deadlines in April. Knowing what we know now, I would expect our deadlines for our travel support group to be probably in October sometime, end of September or early October, for a meeting that will start at the end of October. Which I think is a dramatic change over what you've seen in the past in deadlines.
Indeed, but hopefully we'll get our travel summary before the beginning of October. Thank
you. You'll get your travel summary in July.
Hi, Steve.
Couldn't resist.
Anthony Harris has the floor.
Anthony?
Yes, good morning. My name is Anthony Harris. I'm with the ISP constituency and frequently favored by travel funding. I just wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, regarding this incident which was discussed a few minutes ago about somebody coming to a meeting and then going on a tour and not attending any ICANN functions. Personally, I think you should have a blacklist. That person should be put on a blacklist and not be eligible for funding, whatever the constituency or supporting group may say and want to push him forward. If you do that, you don't deserve to get another chance at funding, in my opinion, anyhow. Chris, that happens quite a lot in the developing world. I saw your astonishment and indignation, but it's quite commonplace in Latin America that people take an unfair advantage. So I would assume this person, without being critical of any particular geographic area, probably comes from the developing world. And it's the trip of his life, so he's gonna see the country. Having said that, I would like to thank the travel support committee or people. You have always been extremely helpful to me. I'm a very complicated traveler. I'm getting on in years. I have some health concerns, and traveling in coach is quite a challenge for me, when particularly living in Argentina, where we're far from everything. Any trip I do is at least maybe 12 or 15 hours just to get to any ICANN meeting, unless it's in my region. And I wanted to congratulate you for the way you have restructured the actual travel booking procedures, because now we are able to select our own airline carrier, and from what I understand, you have a United Nations list of maximum values for each origin and destination for travel. And I'm quite happy to pay a difference if I can choose my own airline carrier, because that means I can get upgrades. It means I can travel like a human being. So I think that is extremely important, and I would encourage you. I heard you're going to change things. Please don't change that. It helps immensely, believe me. I mean, to get here, I had two segments of 8.5 hours and one of 13 hours. So you can imagine, if I can't get any upgrades on something like that, it's a health issue for me. And finally, I'm not speaking for the commercial stakeholder group because we're only one part of it. The ISP constituency is one of the three members of the commercial stakeholder group. But from our constituency perspective, it would be advantageous if at some time you would consider, or ICANN would consider, expanding the amount of travel support you give to our... before we just had the constituencies, and now we have another tier, which is the commercial stakeholder group, which involves people organizing meetings and new functions and new responsibilities. So we really have to ensure more people attend these meetings than before. So if there is any budget consideration, maybe perhaps in the future, to expand travel support in the GNSO, at least I would put this on the table as maybe you would consider it as one of the possibilities. Again, I'm not speaking for the entire commercial stakeholder group. There's a colleague here at the table. But from the ISP constituency, we have to provide at least one member to be present and attend to the commercial stakeholder group proceedings and organization and meetings. And I think that's about it for me. Thank you.
Anthony, thank you very much. First, let me allay any fear you have. The newer process of allowing our travelers to book their own travel does appear to be working, and we are not contemplating changing that. So that is not on the list of things that we're contemplating changing. That was a wonderful suggestion that came out of the community that we've adopted. We've now done this for two meetings, and it appears to be working. So that does not appear to be something that will change. In terms of adding the number of supported travelers and getting budget for that, I am aware that as part of ICANN's budget process, there was outreach that was done through the public comment period, and we received public comments around expanding travel support for a number of these groups. That was taken under consideration, but the two people who come to an ICANN meeting who you would likely want to address from a budgetary standpoint would be Akram Atala, who's our Chief Operating Officer and currently the interim CFO, as well as Juan Ojeda, who's our controller. And they would certainly welcome hearing those comments and putting that into the discussion for future budgets.
Hey, Steve. Chris Chaplow has the floor.
Chris?
I'm sorry. Thank you for your response, and I'm very happy to hear that that you'll continue with this travel policy.
You're welcome, Anthony.
Great, Chris.
Hi, Steve. Chris Chaplow again, Vice Chair, Finance Operations of the Business Constituency. You'll be pleased to hear that the BC is intending to post in the public comment for which closes, I think, in a few days' time. So we'll be posting. I say it'll be right at the very end because we've got the process to get the post to our members first and make sure we've got the document is mainly a statement of what's happening now. It's not really proposing anything new, so I don't think the comments will be too extensive. But I think there will be one of the things we'll comment on is I think there will be a tie up with the FY12 budget. Which, as you know, that process, you've mentioned it, that process is going on at the moment. The public comment, the comment on the FY12 budget only finished at, 6 o'clock here local time on Saturday morning. And there is, shall I say, confusion at the moment as to exactly what, where we are with that. But that budget will be approved one way or another by the board on Friday. So that's the end of that process. And I don't know whether... it will be on the public forum, you know, the open mic tomorrow afternoon. So I think what it looks like, what is in the FY12 budget at the moment, is slightly in variance to what you've got in your document. So I think there will be another iteration of that. But if I, so back to a question, if I picked up on what you were saying, after this comment closes, and from other inputs that you've talked about, you're then going to reissue the document again for another comment. Is that right?
That is correct.
Good. Okay, then. Well, we'll look forward to commenting and speak along the way. Thank you.
Thank you. Joseph, do we have anyone else who wishes
to... Is there anything else?
Actually, I do have one more thing. Speaking purely in my personal capacity on the travel issue, and I'm sort of going around in circles. I've mentioned it to a couple of people and been... nobody seems interested. But I think I'm the only person here at ICANN who actually bought tickets to Oman. And those tickets were on EasyJet and they weren't refundable. And I spoke to several people and said, is there any provision for this? And people have been going around shrugging their shoulders. So I'll ask that question. I know it's probably not in any... Well, it might be in something you've already thought about. Or if it isn't, what do you suggest I do? We're talking about €500 of loss on that.
So, Chris, I don't have a ready answer for you, but I do want to look into this with you. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to take this particular issue offline. Joseph is there with his business card. So, Joseph, if you would make sure Chris has your business card, I'm going to ask you to connect with Joseph, who works in my department, and then Joseph will connect you and I together, and the three of us will then at least understand what this issue is and then make some recommendations about some possible resolutions for you.
Thank you.
So you found an interested party.
Steve, this is Janice. Two things. Marilyn had to leave, but as a follow-up to the earlier conversation about supported travel and working on some potential guidelines around that for supported travelers and their participation or lack thereof, she just mentioned we really need to give consideration to the GAC and how we are going to work guidelines with their travel. She commented that in the presentation we did note six travel spots for the GAC. I did let her know that with the passing of the FY12 budget on Friday, that the GAC number would go to the 20 that had been suggested unless something between now and then with the board changes. So she just wanted to make the comment that right now it is stated in the FY12 as six, and would just like to see it stated if and when it does go to the 20, supported with the approval of the board. And secondarily, she just wanted to make note that we do need to take a look at how we do guidelines with the governments in the GAC. Secondly, Alan Greenberg had to leave the room, and he wanted to let you know it was not all gloom and doom, that he did need to make his comments, but he truly does believe that this process has improved under your guidance, and he wanted to let you know that.
Thank you, Janice. And we'll circle back with Marilyn as well, because I believe we've what you've just alluded to in terms of the increase in the number for the GAC, my answer to Chris still stands, which is the board hopefully will approve a budget. With the approval of the budget, I believe that will change some of what is currently in the travel guidelines, and we will therefore update the travel guidelines, reissue them, and, of course, open it for public comment.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions, comments, concerns?
If not, we are right on schedule. I have 4 minutes before the hour here. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time out of another very busy ICANN meeting to come and share in this forum. We will do this again in Dakar. I anticipate in Dakar that I will be there in person, although I would like to personally thank all of the folks behind the scenes, ICANN's IT team, the Verilance staff, Janice, and others who organized this remote participation feed that allowed me to participate and present at this meeting remotely, and I think it went very well. And so I'd just like to share my thanks with all of the folks who were behind the scenes that made this work. All I did was show up, sit in a chair, and chat away. So thanks to all of you as well.
And, Steve, I'm just going to say this was Joseph's first session, and he had 5 minutes training in remote participation. I think he did excellent.
I completely agree. Thank you all very much for coming. Have a great rest of the day and a great rest of the ICANN meeting.
Thanks, Steve. Bye.
Thanks, Steve.
Signing off.